Written the subject, the title on the board before we came to this meeting. The Lord gave me this message with this meeting attached to it. Brother Eugene began preaching the other night and ended up with the scripture that the Lord had given me to start with. And I'd asked the Lord, is this still what you want? And the Lord has kept the burden on my heart. So I trust that it will be a blessing as we look into the scripture. Over in the 9th chapter of Matthew, we'll begin reading with verse 36. And again, this is a familiar passage we'd like to look into with the help of the Holy Spirit this morning. Matthew chapter 9, reading the verse 36. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, see, after looking out over the multitude and seeing all of the needs and the struggles that people had, the hopelessness that people had, Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We can look at our world today and it's dark out there. There are a lot of people that are rejecting the Lord. We see the downward spiral of our society and the things that they're adopting. Much ungodliness in our world. And the enemy would like to cause us to want to close the camp. In other words, circle the wagons because it's so evil out there. But Jesus still left us a commission to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Where sin did abound, there did grace much more abound. The grace of God is still able. Where there are honest, seeking souls, the grace of God is still able to deliver people from sin. So maybe going out in the world, maybe you'll be rejected 999 times. But what about that one soul? Is it still worth a lifetime of labor this morning? Is it still worth a lifetime of money and sacrifice and self-denial for one soul to make heaven with if you gave everything in your life? Would it still be worth one soul? I say this morning, if it were my soul, it would be worth it. If all of you here were to give everything that you had that I could make heaven in eternity, I would say it's worth it. It was worth it. Thank you for giving yourself to the Lord that I would have opportunity to make heaven my home. Do you know we can't place a value on a soul this morning? And it is still worth giving everything that we have for the cause of the kingdom of God. So Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous. And the harvest is still plenteous this morning. There are great needs in the work of God. There are great needs in the work of God at home and abroad. There are needs in local congregations. There are needs for qualified, faithful laborers, song leaders, Sunday school teachers, trustees, helpers, ministers, pastors, missionaries. There are great needs in the kingdom of God today. And there are some things that sometimes maybe we don't talk a lot about. Maybe we don't hear a lot about, but the scripture addresses some things. You know, to come in the doors in the back this morning, that there was no screening process for us to go through, for us to sit down this morning. Everybody is welcome. We want people that those that don't dress like you dress, I would love for the chapel to be full of them this morning. What better place for them to be? I want the world. This is where the center ought to be. This ought to be a spiritual hospital. Jesus came to minister to those that were sick. To those were the ones that need the physician, those that are sick. Jesus came to minister to the adulterers. He came to minister to the fornicators. He came to ministers whose lives are wrecked with sin. And so we welcome them this morning. You know, there are some I know of some Church of God fellowships, they took off their signs, "Everybody welcome." Because everybody wasn't welcome. You know, whether it's on the sign itself, that ought to be our heart this morning. We want you to come. We want you to come and see and experience the love of God's people and see the love of God through our lives. That's why Jesus came. And He was criticized for it. He was criticized for His friendship with the sinner. If this man knew, if Jesus knew what kind of woman this was, or what manner of man this was, He wouldn't spend time with him. Folks, this is the cause of Christ this morning. The harvest is plenteous, but He said the laborers are few. Recently, got an email from an organization that was putting together another book of religions in the United States. And they were seeking numbers. They were looking to know that there is already a book out there. I've read it, seen it in the bookstore years ago. And you can find the Church of God that we fellowship with here this morning. You could find that in that book, and it told about how many congregations and about how many ministers. So they were seeking some current information. I sat down, began to kind of reflect and go through how many congregations, how many ministers are there. For a little reality check, I either called or texted Brother Ed and said, "Brother Ed, this is what I came up with. Does this seem right to you?" When he got back with me that evening or the next day, he said when he first saw it, if I might mistake his exact words, he said he was thought, "Surely not." Because he had done this a few number of years ago. Do you know that just, I think, 15, 20 years ago, there were twice the number of ministers amongst us that there are now? The laborers are few. We are a small body of people. Folks, God's kingdom extends to every blood-washed one. But there is a great need for laborers in the harvest. And I know sometimes in messages like this, sometimes people's instinctive reaction is, but not everybody's called to be a minister. No, not everybody's called to fill this pulpit, but saints, we are all called to be ministers of the gospel. We are all called. God has a place for each and every one of us here to go out into the world to minister to the needs of people. And the greatest ministering is done outside of these four walls. But there is a great need for qualified laborers. I said there was no screening process to come in. And there's not. But do you realize that God gets choosy about who He calls to minister His word? There is a screening process, saints. And it's not just, "Well, there's a need over here, I think I'll go fill it." Folks, we need to wait for the divine call of God to be led by the Holy Spirit. And it also requires that our lives be qualified to fulfill that call that God has given. There is a kind of, I've heard it said both ways, God calls and then qualifies. And there's a whole nother lot to be said about how God calls then qualifies. But the essence of it is this. When God gives a call, He's going to qualify before we begin to exercise ourselves in matters of faith, in the kingdom of God. There's something that God requires out of our life. Amen. He that labors must be first partaker of the fruit. In other words, even I will say in people's ministries, when I first began ministering, do you know there are some things the Lord didn't give me messages about? Is that right, Brother Marty? Same for you? There are some things the Lord didn't give me messages. I was new in the call. And there were things, I was young, I was 19 years old. And I had some growing and maturing to do. And after, I still remember one of the first messages the Lord gave me along the line, it was 10 years into my ministry. And then the Lord began to give me, because there were things the Lord was wanting to personally move and work in my own life and qualify me personally before I stood before someone else instructing them in the way of the Lord. There is a great need this morning for Sunday school teachers, and this is an umbrella message, and I'm going to deal specifically by the help of the Lord with a few things. But there are areas that there are qualifications We live in a time, so I know there are needs. I don't know how it is in your congregations exactly. But I know there are needs for qualified Sunday school teachers. Not just someone to say, well, I guess I can kind of fill in. And then some people start kind of filling in week after week after week. There is a need for Holy Ghost-filled, anointed, inspired people that have a burden for those that they're ministering to, that come to service with a burden for their Sunday school class. People that seek God on their knees to get the mind of God before I just, the Sunday morning, get some papers together and say, what are we going to cover today? But people that spend time in preparation. I don't know what you all would think if the ministers got up every time it was time to preach. Someone got up and opened up their Bible and said, well, let's find something here. And I'm a minister, so I'll find, okay, this looks like a good scripture. I'll preach on that today. Do you know a lot? We could do that. You could go point out a scripture to a lot of the ministers and we could get up and preach on it. But where is the seeking? Where is the inspiration? Where was the message? See, I'm not interested in sermons, and I know some people use the word loosely, but I'm interested in messages from God. I'm not interested in what man has just put together. We want something from heaven because that's what feeds. That's what inspires. That's what draws us to the Lord. So it takes a burden. The laborers are few. Do you know the labor pool is small? The labor pool is small. And the Lord wants all of us this morning to be living a life that if God chooses. Because see, the Lord does have a place for all of us in the body of Christ. I believe that. And I know sometimes it takes some struggle and takes time, especially when you're young, we're young, to find that call. To find that place the Lord wants us to fill. But saints, I want to encourage us in something this morning. All of us need to be seeking God to be qualified. So Lord, I'm going to be living and Lord, I want you to work in my life. I want you to examine me. I want you to perfect me. So if there's something you have for me to do, that I can say, Lord, I'm an unprofitable servant, but I'm willing to follow your Spirit. There is a standard of righteousness that God requires in those that are laborers in His vineyard. There are requirements. There are scriptural, biblical requirements for those that teach Sunday school. There are biblical requirements that stand for those that stand behind the pulpit and say they are a minister of the gospel. There are requirements that God has placed on their lives. And it is so much better this morning for us as we seek the Lord to not put those in leadership in difficult positions when we know we're not qualified ourselves. If we know our lives are not qualified, if there are things that disqualify us for a period of time or forever, it is spare your pastors. Spare your pastors the heartache of coming and saying, brother, you're not qualified to teach Sunday school. Don't offer to teach Sunday school if you're not living a life that people can follow your example. Sometimes people say, well, there's qualifications for the minister that's different than the qualifications for just the average saint of God. I'm not going to ask for a poll this morning, and if you agree with that. There are a very few things that God requires from a minister that there's some things in someone's life, maybe because of their past history, in some marriage situations that bring difficulty, that they may not be qualified to fill the pulpit. But I want us to understand that the call of righteousness, and we're going to read a little bit of it, that God places on the ministry is the same righteousness that God calls for all of us. If there are things that you would not have confidence in the ministry if you saw it in their life, do you know what that means for you? It's not wise for you either. If you'd say, well, if I saw Brother Marty down there going over there, I just lose confidence in his ministry. Why were you down there to see him there? In other words, the requirement is holy living. Whether we're a minister or a song leader or a Sunday school teacher, we are called to live a life of holiness in our spirit, in the way that we dress, in our conduct, in our attitudes, in the things that we bring into our home. There is a requirement from the Lord of holiness and purity and godliness. Not just on Sunday, not just when someone knows what we're doing, but on a daily basis. Need for qualified laborers. May the Lord help us this morning. All of us are called to represent Christ. We're all called to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And see, the difference is then, and there are some of a few things we may bring out this morning by the help of the Lord that sometimes I'll just say Zachary's asked me, he said, Dad, these things you don't hear these things from the pulpit. I hope you all have heard them. But he said, there are some of these things we just don't hear a lot about. Do you know this morning that there are times that we have had to sit down as a body, as a ministry, and say, brother, we don't feel like the Lord is in you continuing your ministry. There are questions. There are things in your life that you're not qualified to minister the gospel. It doesn't necessarily unsave someone, but there is a pattern of godliness and good works being established in the faith for those that would stand before us and minister the Word of God. And some might look on and say, it's not fair, you're saying they're not saved. No, but when someone stands to minister the gospel, the Scripture says very clearly to know them, which what? That labor among you. That means more than just knowing their grandparents. All right? It means more than just knowing, I've known you, we were children together. When it says to know them, and I know some different commentators had some different ideas about this, but some say that you need to make those that are ordained in the faith welcome and respect their calling. That's a whole nother truth to that. But you study the word to know, and I wrote down a few of the definitions that come from the Greek from that word. It means to discover. Know them that labor among you. Discover. To inspect. To examine. Do you know that doesn't happen overnight? But when he says to know them which labor among you, this is not based on that we come from a common heritage or our grandparents knew each other. This is talking about the manner of your life. What you are, what you believe, how you live. And the instruction was given to know them that labor among you. Know their faith. Examine them. Try the spirits. Folks, it's important that we try the spirits this morning. But where does that start? It starts in my own life. We need to try our own spirits because it's not enough when we talk about qualified laborers. We need to be qualified in the faith. We need to be sound in doctrine and sound in truth. But folks, the Scripture also teaches us to teach, to preach the truth in love. Not to hold the truth in carnality. And it means then that it's not just the list of doctrines that are taught in the Bible. There's also qualifications for the spirit that we have. Remember the disciples asked Jesus when the Samaritan village didn't want Christ to come their way? And they said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? Jesus said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. In other words, there's a spirit there. I came to seek and to save those that were lost. And Jesus went to another village. In other words, Jesus wasn't going to be a troublemaker. If you don't want what I have to offer, I'm not going to force you to take it. I'm not going to quarrel with you. I'm not going to argue about it. But I'm just going to quietly go somewhere else. What manner of spirit? It is important, folks, that those that labor in the kingdom of God, those that labor in God's church are qualified in spirit. That the foundation of all doctrine, the foundation of this faith this morning, it's based on a spirit of love. It's not dogma, it's not man rule, it's not by force, but we are motivated by the love of God coupled with humility. Remember Jesus told speaking of the Pharisees, he turned to his disciples and he said, they love to be called rabbi, rabbi. They love to be exalted. They want to be known by their position. And Jesus said, let it not be amongst you. He said, you're brethren. In other words, when we begin to look at qualified laborers, there should be a foundation of humility in service. It's not about striving for position. It's not about, well, I want to be recognized. And there are people out in the world that struggle continuously. I want to be recognized. I want to be recognized. Well, qualified laborers, it's faith. But folks, it's also spirit. Jesus said the Father was looking for people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Working for God is not about convenience. It's rarely convenient to really work for God because there are always things that are pulling on our time. Do you know there is a need, and I want to qualify it with this. All of us have a different call, okay? The Lord did not give your call to me. He didn't give my call to you. So when the Lord gives you a call and you seek to be sure that you are qualified to fulfill that call, we don't have to try to emulate one another. I don't have to try to say, I'm going to try to preach like Brother Marty. And I'm going to try to No, because I make myself miserable and you all and everything would just be a mess. The Lord gave all of us a unique place in the body of Christ. And folks, this is a side point, but we need to learn, I believe, amongst us in a greater way to appreciate the diversity of gifts. There's a diversity of calling, diversity of gifts, but it's the same spirit. And what spirit is that? Spirit of love, spirit of humility, and sound in faith and sound in doctrine. So the Lord help us to learn to appreciate. But when the Lord puts His call on your life, it's not always convenient. And there is a need for people. And I'm amongst us right here to be willing to lace things down to follow with your whole heart the call of God. I would be remiss in my responsibility if I were to stand here today and tell everybody, you need to go home, you need to quit your jobs, you need to sell everything you have, and you need to go do the work of God. That wouldn't be responsible, it wouldn't be right, and it wouldn't be ordained of God. But with that said, do you know the Lord is still looking for people? He's calling people that are qualified to give everything that they have and follow Him. Even in the ministry, saints, there are too many things of this world that are tying ministers down that they're not able to go because I'm tied up over here and I'm tied up over here. Folks, their call, maybe God has given them a call for that. But that doesn't negate the fact the Lord is still looking for some full-time laborers because the harvest is great. There's lots to do, and the laborers are few. So what consecrations are we willing to make? What are the things that we know the Lord has called for and said, I want you to lay this down so you'll have some more time for me? Over in 1 Timothy in the 3rd chapter, said, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop. You notice he said, if a man desire the office? Some would say, well, you shouldn't have a desire for that. I still remember Brother Austis Wilson saying, he said, the Lord called me to the ministry and he said, I enjoy what I do. You young people heard that? Do you know that it's good to enjoy what God calls you to do? When you follow the leadings of the Lord, and I'm going to say specifically to you young people, not because we're against you, because we love you. There is a place the enemy would like you to be afraid of what God's going to call you to do. Because there is something about the unknown. It's kind of like death. I'm not afraid to die because I'm ready to go by the blood of Jesus. And I want to go. But when you get there, there's an element of the unknown. There's an element in the flesh that brings there's some uncertainty. Do you know the call of God is the same way? When we consecrate to God, we don't always know what we're consecrating to. It's like when you get married and you promise for better, for worse, riches and you know, poverty and sickness and in hell. I say, my poor wife didn't know what she was getting into. Do you know there are things you don't know what all you're committing to in marriage? It's the same way with God. It's a journey, folks, with God. Our calls are a journey. The work that we have to do in the vineyard of the Lord is a journey. But the consecration and willingness should be there. Lord, whatever you want, I want to work for you, Lord. Do you know that when you have a willingness to work for God and you start saying, Lord, I want to be sure that there's nothing hindering my life. I don't want there to be something that's disqualifying me from the anointing of the Lord in whatever capacity that I'm filling in the body of Christ. The Lord is going to start opening up doors for you. I remember as a teenager coming to the altar, and I remember the person that prayed with me. You know, I'll tell you, it wasn't what I was wanting to hear. All right? I went down and I was burdened and I was praying. And they said, you know, if there are trashes that need to be emptied, you can empty trashes. You know, that's not quite what I was thinking about, was emptying the trash. But do you know that the Lord wants us and is calling for us to be faithful in the little things that we can do right now? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'll tell you, you come to our congregation and you will still find me emptying the trash. Do you realize that the things that are before us, this is what I can do? If the trash needs to be emptied, Lord, I'm going to do it for you then. And it's not time, and I've told my children this, don't look around and get bitter and say, why isn't someone else emptying the trash? You know, after everybody comes and is eating a meal, and afterward they're sitting all down visiting, and say, all right, boys, go get to work. Well, what are they doing? Well, what is that to thee? Isn't that what Jesus told Peter? Well, what's John doing? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Do what God has given you to do. Be faithful at your post of duty, emptying the trash. And as you're faithful in emptying the trash, maybe the Lord will start having you change the towels in the bathroom. And I do that at home too. Lord, help me to be faithful. And then the Lord might begin to open up doors. He might have places or someone that needs to be visited over here. He said, I saw you were faithful. There's someone that I want you to go share the hope that you have in Christ. Understand, we talk about qualified labors. It doesn't mean you have all the answers. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that humanly I'm perfect. Now I've arrived, so now the Lord can... You need to have that long-suffering with those that minister to you too. Amen? We're all human. I look back in my life and those that have been my spiritual examples and leaders and confidants and those that guided me as a young man. And they've gone on to glory now. And I look at their lives and they were human. And some would say, yeah, well, you know about this situation. Yes, they were human. But I'll tell you what, they were still qualified. And this is the reason why. Because they didn't have all the answers, but they knew the one that did. They walk with the Lord. I may not understand every scripture, but you know, if I have a desire to work for the Lord, I'm going to start studying the scripture. I'm going to study the scripture just as a minister. It takes preparation time. Song leaders, know the songs. If you don't know them all, that's all right. But if the Lord has called you to that place, then study and prepare yourself. Sunday school teachers, don't wait till Sunday morning and say, well, I've got to hurry up and get something for the children. You know, they're 10 years old. It doesn't really matter a lot anyway. Oh, yes, it matters a lot. There's a need to pray down a burden that you go in with something to impart that God has put on your heart. So we don't have to have all the answers, but folks, to be qualified laborers, we need to walk with the Lord. They looked on, remember, was it the Greeks that looked on the disciples and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men? But they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Folks, there's nothing that qualifies more than a daily, consistent, faithful walk with Jesus Christ. Being led of the Spirit of the Lord. A bishop must be blameless. Doesn't mean without human fault, But it means that spiritually, that their life and their intent and their motivations and their purpose of life is for the Lord. Must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. And there could be a lengthy discourse on each one of these points. But you notice it said apt to teach. It meant that there was a gifting that God had given to them. Every burden that we have on our hearts is not a call of God. And let me clarify what I mean. There have been in my own life, I can look in the past and see times that I had a burden for situations and places. I had a burden, but it was not a call for me to go do something about it. It was a burden, a concern, a love, a care to pray and support and to be there if I could help someone else, but it was not a call for me to go actively. You see the point? So we need the Holy Spirit then to help us as we seek to know the call that God has for us, to recognize just because we have a burden for something does not mean it's a call. But on the other hand, do you know that God uses the burdens many times to give the call? In other words, when God gives a burden, seek the Lord, pray about it, be faithful to Him, and then when you hear the Lord saying, now, this is what I want you to do. You're qualified. You're ready to step up and say, the Lord has put a burden on my heart. It's not always convenient. It's usually not convenient. You're going to face some opposition sometimes. But one of the things that you will find when you follow the call of God is that God will open the door for you to fulfill that gifting that God has given. When I find someone that is just pushing down the door, I have a call from God. I'm not going to submit to man. I have a divine call of God, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. You know, that starts sending out some red flags. Because qualification means more than just the head knowledge of doctrine. It means that there's that spirit of cooperation, that spirit of working together, a spirit of humility that, Lord, I'm looking to you to open up the doors that you want me to go through. Young people, I'm not going to say if the Lord calls you, when He calls you, you can rest in knowing that God is going to open up doors for you. You don't have to fight to say, well, the Lord's given me a call, so now it's my job to find out where to fulfill that. No, God will lead you in those things. And I will say there is such a security. And you know, some of this comes from maturing in the Lord. But there is a security in resting, in knowing that, Lord, I'm in your hands. And just lead me today. And God is going to provide. He's going to open doors for you. And He's going to lead you faithfully. Young people, you all have a lot to offer. And it's not just the young people. Sister Dorothy Kaiser was planning to move to Ghana when she was, someone help me, in her 70s? Late 60s? The 60s? The Lord has a call, a place for all of us to fill. But the Lord is going to lead in that. He's going to direct in that. The scripture goes on talking about the qualifications there of the bishop. And understand that a bishop is not one that is above other ministers. There is one level of ministry in the New Testament church. The word for bishop in the Greek is the same word for elder. An elder does not mean age either. It means the call of God that God put on their life. It's the call that God called, the call to the commission to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, he said not a novice in that list. And so we say, well, what is a novice? He wasn't just talking about age, but he was talking about having qualified laborers. If I came down and I haven't been serving the Lord and I get saved, the Lord wants me to testify. The Lord wants me to share what God has done for me. But it wouldn't be wisdom for me to get up in the next service and say the Lord has called me to preach the gospel and this is my first message from behind the pulpit. That wouldn't be wisdom, because the devil has a snare laid for everybody that follows the call of God. When we follow the call of God, the devil has traps laid for his ministry. He has traps laid for everybody that is giving themselves to the work of God. And it behooves us to walk humbly before God, because to him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Devil has a snare, and that's one of the reasons he said, not a novice. In other words, get established in the faith. Get established in your walk with God. Get established and allow the Lord to lead you step by step. You young people, when you start feeling, sometimes people say, how do I know the call of God? The burden that God gives you, the life that you're living qualified. And you feel that tug in your heart. You feel that tug and that draw. Do you know that's how the Holy Spirit works many times? And I found the Holy Spirit clarifies His call to us. We don't go off of just this initial feeling that, oh, this is the call, I'm going to go do it. But wait until you feel the butterfly settle. Wait until you have that calm assurance that I'm moving out in the order of the Lord. And I would say not just to the young people, but to all of us. If you have a burden and a call from God to lead singing, teach Sunday school, or that you feel the Lord is calling you to an active pulpit ministry, or to be a missionary and go other countries, it is expedient and it is wise to take your burden to your pastors is the first place to start. Take your burden and share with them and seek godly counsel. Seek godly advice, to have someone that's been in the way a while counsel you and pray with you. And I will say it'll keep you from a lot of problems. I remember telling someone that started out in the ministry, I said, now you're welcome, you come to minister's meeting, but I said, when you come, I said, you need to be quiet. You know, you come, well, I got a call from God now, and I'm one of the ministers now. No, you come and you listen and you learn and you let the Lord move. And there's a time and a place for all things. There's growth. I remember Brother Austis Wilson hearing about when he started his ministry, there were those that went to his mother and said, he needs to be set down. He's not, he was struggling a little bit, if I understood correctly. It was his mother who was the minister there, and she said, you just leave that boy alone. It was someone that knew his life. Someone that probably was counseling and directing. Do you know we need to give people room to grow in their call? You can't expect someone that first starts in a call to act like they've been doing it for 20 or 40 years. So there's maturing within a call. So we need to be loving and long-suffering and give room for that. The other side of that is, when there are those that are in places of spiritual leadership, and they would counsel you and say it would be best for you to wait on what you feel like this calling. You know, there's a place of submitting. There's a place of submitting to those that God has placed in authority in the body of Christ. That's not negating Holy Spirit leadership, but it's called working together. And I found that when the Lord leads in something, He confirms that many, many times with other spiritual people. He confirms the God's call in your life. Someone says, you know what? The Lord revealed this to me too. I'm behind you and to support it because God's let me know. And I feel like the Lord is in this call in your life. Folks, that's invaluable. If you start running off with an independent spirit, you're going to find yourself by yourself. And when the heartaches come and the troubles come, you're going to be left stranded in some areas. It's worth working together with the body of Christ. Not working independently, even with your call. So young people, when you start feeling the Lord calling you and leading you, I highly encourage you, as you pray and seek God about those things, measure your life, examine your life. Be living pure and right before God. But before you actively begin to exercise within some of these calls, go talk to your pastor. Go visit with those that know your life. Part of being qualified means that those that are closest to you have confidence in you. You know, there's nobody that knows me more than my wife. She knows me better than my parents do. See, they knew me the first 18 years. They still know me, but see, my wife's the one that wakes up and see how I act when I'm not feeling good. She's the one that sees how I act. Yes, Brother Marty, there are times of frustration. She sees how I act when I'm frustrated too. See, so if our families, this is a little litmus test. I've told people many times, I said, if I'm up here preaching and my children, my wife, don't have confidence in my ministry, I said, I need to sit down. Because they know not only how I live my life, they do know my attitudes. They do know how I view things. They do know how I react to things. Folks, if your family doesn't have, and I know there have been some rare exceptions to this. But if your family doesn't have confidence in you, you need to stay right where you're at. Well, get close to God. Start seeking the Lord that you can win the confidences of those closest to you. If you don't have the confidences of people at home that you actively live with, say, well, I can't really labor in my own local congregation because nobody has confidence in me, so I'll go over to another congregation. Why? Because they don't know you as well? No, you need to labor amongst those. It's best. You have a burden of the Lord, testify and exhort in your home congregation. I've shared with different ones, if you have a burden and say, well, I've got a burden for Monarch. My question is, are you teaching at home? Are you sharing the burden at home? No, it's for Monarch. No, you don't go to Monarch and choose to start praying and singing and exhorting and preaching at Monarch. You start in your home congregation where people know you and you can have someone there to help guide you and direct you and be a support to you. Trustees, there is a scripture in Acts 6. And before we turn there, if you look on down in 1 Timothy 3, it gives qualification for deacons as well, correct? A deacon is similar to a trustee. I believe in that there are a few differences. I believe there are some more teaching qualifications that go along with a deacon. But do you know it is important that not only for deacons, but for trustees to be living a qualified life? Because you represent the body of Christ. You represent the business aspects of the church. And it's important that people in town that you do business with, and they find, oh, you're a trustee at the Church of God congregation here. I don't think I want to go to church there because I know how you do business. You know, that's disqualifying if we can't conduct our business honestly. That those that are around us know that our word is our bond. It's important, folks. And we need to let judgment begin in our own life. In our word and how we conduct our business. There are, again, qualifications. But in Acts chapter 6, verse 2, it said the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. You know those are qualifications. Those that are going to take care of the business of the church. He said that they would be of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint them over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry. Have you ever heard of the absentee trustee? Where are they? There's work to be done. The affairs of the church need to be taken care of. Where is the absentee trustee? I know we all can't be everywhere all the time. We understand that. But the Lord is looking for qualified, faithful laborers who are putting the work of God first in their life. And there is a great need for qualified, Holy Ghost-filled trustees to fill the position with a burden from God and fill it well. And just as we all need to support the ministry, do you know that we need to support those that we have appointed to be trustees? Talking to one of the brethren the other day about the plans at Monarch. We were talking about plans, and you know, we can all have our ideas, and I have some too. But you know what I told them? I said, you all were appointed. I said, that's your job. The rest of us need to support and get behind. It doesn't mean we can't have an opinion. There's a time and a place to share ideas, but there's a time and a place to give respect to those that we chose to take care of the business of the church and say, brethren, I may disagree with you, but you're in that position and we're going to get behind you and support whatever you do. Amen? I believe this is scriptural, folks. I'll just say briefly, I said, if you don't have confidence of people at home, it's not time to say you want to go on a missionary trip either. It's sad to have to hang your head when someone says, well, what about this one? Nothing I could do about it. I'm sorry. Have to pick up the phone and say, just want you to know someone's coming to see and I can't support the way they're living. I just want you to know that I don't endorse it. Folks, that's a sad commentary to have to do that, isn't it? Do you know that's had to be done sometimes? Young people, there's a desire to go out and work for God. And there's a need for young people on the mission field. There's a need. There is a place that you can fill, whether it's at home or abroad, in the work of the Lord. The preacher can't do it. But the need is that people can look on and see an example of godliness, an example of holiness, an example of righteousness. Young people, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example. Say, be qualified. Be an example of who? Of the believers. Be an example of where you came from and what they believe is right and true. He's saying, be an example of that in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit. See, this applies to all of us. Qualification, faith, yes. Doctrine, yes. But spirit, yes. Purity, yes. So live in a way that you're not despised. Live in a way with confidence. And if you don't have it at home, again, don't take it somewhere else. Stay at home and win the confidence of the people in your own home congregation. Let the Lord begin to lead you right where you're at, and God can lead and call you. The things, and I say again specifically to you young people, there are things that all of us have had questions about, and maybe we still do about some things. And I know sometimes, especially when we're young and we're growing in the faith and we're trying to establish our identity in the Lord, there are some things we can look on and say, I don't understand why the saints have done that. Or I don't understand why the standard has been this. I just don't understand it. So I'm not going to do that because I don't feel a personal conviction. I want to share something with you. You young people would be much better off in the long run. Do what you've been taught. Follow the example of those that are living godly, righteous lives, even if right now you don't understand it. Because in time, the Lord is going to increase your understanding, as He's still increasing all of ours, that you can say, you know what, I see the reason now. I understand, and I would that you young people live without regret. You will be further along in the call that God has in your life if you will live in a way to have the respect and confidence of people while you're young, so you don't have to fight against those things you did in your youth when you said, I just don't see it that way. See, there starts to be some attitude with that sometimes too. I just don't see it that way and I'm not going to do it because everybody else is doing it. So you're going to do it like everybody else in the world is doing it. So take your pick. If you're going to choose one that you don't understand, are you going to follow the example of the world or follow the example of godly people that are sitting right here today? Oh, you young people, God does have a call for you, but live qualified now. You don't have to be 70 years old to have wisdom. You can be a 16-year-old full of wisdom because you know the one. You know the one that has the answers. Because you're living. You're living and walking with God in the area, in the maturity where you're at. And God bless your life. I trust that God will bless you all. Do you know, before in closing, I have a couple things I'd like to mention, Lord, before we sit down. One of the other greatest qualifications, and I believe Brother Ed mentioned it the other night, but it's scriptural. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus had told the disciples, He said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth." Folks, Jesus did not send His disciples back out until they received the Holy Spirit. In other words, you need that power. Yes, we all have different personalities. We all have strengths and weaknesses, but we need that tempering, balancing power of the Holy Spirit because there are traps out there. So before we begin to just, "Well, I'm saved," zeal without knowledge, folks, causes a lot of damage. And I'll say there, I've seen as well older people that feel a call to the ministry, but they're novices. They said, "Well, I've done all this for the Lord all these years," and they move out with zeal without getting established and taking it slowly in the Lord. It behooves us to be led of the Holy Spirit. And so He said, get the Holy Spirit before you go out. Because we need Him. Folks, the work is great this morning. The work is great. Would you allow me another piece of instruction to the you song leaders here this morning? You have a great responsibility. When someone stands before us and leads the singing, we believe in Holy Spirit leadership, do we not? Do we believe in Holy Spirit leadership? I wasn't handed a program when we came in. And I don't want to be handed a program when we come in. Which means that we need the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. And we also need the Holy Spirit to guide and direct all of us, whether it's in exhortation or in testimony or in special singing. Special singers, this is a side note to you too. When you stand behind this pulpit, and when you're standing on that side of the pulpit, if you feel a call to sing for the Lord, you need to be a qualified laborer. Your life needs to be a reflection of Christ, of the believers. Amen? And so we believe in Holy Spirit leadership. Folks, and this is to all of us, Holy Spirit leadership does not mean a free-for-all. "Well, I can do whatever I want to do. I can say whatever I want to say." You know, I found that every thought that God gives me isn't for me to stand up and share with everybody. I've said in services when it almost started to feel like, "Well, I had a thought I'd like to share after the message." No, the Lord gave the message. If the Lord is leading you and calling you to share it, then share it. Exhort it. There have been times a message has been preached, and I've been on both sides of the pulpit on this one. And what was needed was a good Holy Ghost-filled exhortation, and God sent it. And I sat there so humble saying, "Lord, thank you. I feel like I made a mess of it." And you gave an exhortation to someone, and that's just what we needed. But with that being said, it's not a free-for-all. Whether it's in our local congregation or at Monarch, it's not a free-for-all. It's Holy Spirit leadership. So every thought, every song that comes to my mind doesn't necessarily mean that I need to stand up and share it. I hope everybody gets thoughts when someone preaches. I want you to take them home with you and grow in it. But we don't have time for us all to share our thoughts. And especially if the minister preaches a message on forgiveness. And how we need to forgive people. And then someone gets up and says, "Yes, but you know, there's another side to that. You know, we shouldn't be offensive, and we don't want to." That's another time. That's for another time. The message was on forgiveness. Let the Lord lead in those things, you see? Well, our songs are the same way. In our song selection, we want the Holy Spirit to lead. There is a great responsibility to those that lead the singing. They need to be full of the Holy Ghost. They need to be led of the Spirit of God, because we don't want our services to be governed by the clock. I understand that we're cognizant of that. And I'm sitting here thinking, I've been up here a while now. It's, you know, I know people's attention spans, and I'm usually trying to be careful about that. But at the same time, when we're singing our songs, there are specially inspired song services. The Holy Ghost is inspiring the singing, So what, we've sung 20 minutes, we're going to close it. No, let the Lord lead. The Holy Spirit is anointing and leading. And sometimes after two or three songs, it's, you know, people are kind of fidgeting and kind of looking through the book and long pauses. And, well, I guess we haven't sung for 30 minutes or 20 minutes, so let's find another song. No, maybe it's time to go to prayer. But that's where the song leaders need to be in tune with the Spirit of God, in tune with the spirit of the service. So we don't have to sing 20 minutes every service or 30 minutes. Maybe we'll sing two songs and the Lord's ready to move on. Or maybe we sing eight songs. But see, there's a need to be full of the Holy Spirit and allow the Lord to move and guide and lead all of us. Over in Isaiah, in closing, Isaiah had a vision of the Lord high and lifted up. And he said, I am a man of unclean lips. And the seraphim took a coal off of the altar and came and placed it on his lips and purified him. Do you know when we begin to get a vision of Jesus Christ in his holiness, and we say, Lord, I'm not there. Do you know the Lord will come and he will qualify us? It's a divine work of God that he will qualify us after the fire from the throne of God touched Isaiah. He heard a voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord was saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Lord, I'm willing. I was a man of unclean lips, but you, by your divine spirit, have qualified me. And I present myself to you, Lord, that I'm going to answer the call. May the Lord bless you this morning. The laborers are few. There are many needs at home and abroad, but the Lord is looking for qualified laborers to work in his vineyard.